Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Yankees podcast for Tuesday, September 7th. Hope everybody enjoyed their Labor Day weekend and ready to get back into, well, I guess into fall, right? Because summer is over. And the boys of summer now heading into the final month here of baseball. And it really doesn't look all that good for the Yankees, does it? They didn't have a really good week. After having really a crazy month of August, their first week in September really kind of a clunker. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Orioles over the weekend, losing the opener to the Blue Jays on Labor Day. They've dropped 7 out of 9 since winning 13 in a row. And all good things about a 13-game winning streak, all the good things about going 21-8 in the month of August, all the good things about winning 30 out of 40 after the All-Star break, well, they're all kind of vanishing again as the Yankees really slumped badly over the course of the last 4 games, barely beat the Orioles in an extra innings game on Friday, and then have lost 3 straight since then, including that first one to the Blue Jays, which is kind of important because the Blue Jays are sneaking up here. Toronto, Seattle, sneaking back into this wild card race. Oakland took a bit of a hit. That's a good thing for the Yankees because they could be a lot closer right now. Boston is right there. And they lost the tough one. So right now the Yankees are in a position where you are probably, if you're a Yankee fan, you should be rooting for Tampa Bay here over Boston and basically kiss the division goodbye. In order to try to win the division, you need Boston to win, right? Beat Tampa Bay. But if they do that, they're still neck and neck with you in that wild card race. And right now it's better to create some separation if you can. Now, in order to do that, the Yankees have to win some games. But on the other side of it, you know, Boston needs to lose, so you're rooting for Tampa Bay. The other contenders here, Toronto, Seattle, Oakland, well, there's some chances here. You're going to have plenty of head-to-head. You have 6 head-to-heads left with Toronto starting on Tuesday night. So got to take care of those first and foremost and wash away this bad taste that the Orioles left. There's time for that still because you got 3 more against the Orioles next week in Baltimore. Going 9-7 against a bad Orioles team, a team that is dead last in pitching, and you're supposed to have a terrific offense, going 9-7 against that team does not sit well. And if you don't make the playoffs, well, that's going to be the biggest reason why. But there still is room to make the playoffs. In fact, if it ends today, you're still in the playoffs. The Yankees do have a wild card position, but it's shrinking and they've got to hold on to it. They have 25 games left. They're 78-59 with 25 games to play. 15-10 gets you to 93 wins. 10-15 gets you to 88 wins. 88 wins is not going to get you a wild card. 93 just might because it's hard. 93 probably will because it's hard to imagine that Boston, Toronto, Seattle, and Oakland, all of them are going to be better than 93 wins, or at least even 2 of them are going to be better than 93 wins when this is done. Remember that Seattle and Oakland still have 7 games against each other, so that works against them. Seattle and Boston still have a series against each other. And the Yankees, as I said, have 2 series still with Toronto here. They're in the middle of one, and they have another one coming up. Clearly, you have to win those games. But it's hard to imagine that 2 of those teams are going to end up with more than 93. So 15-10 is a reasonable goal, especially after you've lost 7 out of 9. But even better, you know, it's possible to be better. You know, you want to go 16-9 or 17-8. That's a great way to finish. It's just hard to believe that the Yankees are back in this spot going 2-7 in any stretch here after having gone, you know, 30-10 out of the break. That's how good they were. And I understand it was a streak and they're kind of back to where people think they were, but you're talking about a quarter of the season when you're talking about going 30-10 and not every championship team or every division-leading team is just straight on throughout the season, hot start to finish or all that consistent. This team is not a great team. They're a pretty good team. Their record tells you that. Their losses are just absolutely frustrating because, you know, they lost a bunch of those one-run games to the Orioles. They got blown out in a bad look on Labor Day. But the blowout was, you know, it was weird to look at because Jameson Taillon gives up the two homers early on and then doesn't give up anything else until the seventh inning. The fact that he got you through seven, only gave up three runs, you need to win that game. They made three errors. None of them actually factored in to the loss, and they didn't extend, because they didn't give up any runs, and they didn't extend Taillon too much. He was able to work around it and still get through seven. The five runs they scored against Kresge, well, you know, that's just window dressing. You know, the Yankees didn't score. They got five singles in the game. And this goes back to what they were doing. You know, I think there's a little bit of a misconception of what the Yankees were doing when they were winning games. They were hitting the ball for extra bases, doubles, home runs. That's what was winning games. They weren't this pesky get them on, get them over, get them in type of team. They had a few elements of that from time to time. But the Yankees went 21-8 in the month of August is because Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton were monsters in the month of August. And, you know, they pitched well too. Certainly had a few bullpen issues that haven't gone away. But this team was scoring runs in big bunches. And that happens when you hit the ball to the fence and over the fence. I've said it over and over again. That's what this team is. And yes, they will occasionally score runs in other ways. And a guy like Andrew Velazquez got a couple of big hits. But you know why? Because everybody was getting on base in front of him. And teams were still afraid of Judge and Stanton. It was only a couple days ago. It was only a few days ago where it felt like every time you had to navigate through Judge and Stanton, it was, you had to do it on your tippy toes and kind of sneak past them and say, whew, they didn't get me this time, because they sure as heck were going to get you the next time. That's how menacing they were in the month of August. And again, we're only talking a few days ago where that was really the case. And then all of a sudden, they get through these last three games, the two losses to the Orioles and the first loss to Toronto. Judge and Stanton combined 0 for 24 with 11 strikeouts. I mean, I know that power runs hot and cold, and especially Stanton, but it shouldn't be this hot to this cold that fast. It really shouldn't. At least not both of them. That's really, one of them has to be doing something at some particular point in time. That's picking guys up. That's being a team. Right now, they're not doing that. They still have 25 games left, as I said. And if you can somehow manage to go 15-10, and those 10 losses are going to be excruciating, trust me. If the Yankees go 15-10, you're going to be looking at all 10 of those losses, and after every one, you're going to say, this is not a playoff team, this is not a playoff team. And yeah, I get it. That's what happens when you lose. But if they go 15-10, they probably are a playoff team. I would think that's enough wins to get you there. Really one of the scary things about seeing how good the Yankees played before and how bad they are now is that it kind of shows you it doesn't really matter how good you think you are or how good you're playing. You're never really that far away from losing two or three in a row. And, you know, that's in the playoffs, that's death, right? I mean, that sends you home. And I think there are other teams that see that too. We don't watch them as closely as we watch the Yankees, of course. But if you see that the White Sox have lost series and the Astros have had slumps and, you know, Tampa Bay is still capable, even though they're, you know, far and above everybody else record-wise, I'm trying to think of who scares you. Who really scares you in the American League? And you say, boy, don't want to face them. I mean, is Tampa Bay really that team? I know they're good and they keep winning games. But, I mean, I don't see the pitchers that make you say, man, I don't want to face them. And I don't see the parts of the lineup where you just say, you know, and I know Nelson Cruz is a monster, but they are a really good team that plays well, but they've also been a team that has never won at all. So it's not like you're talking about a team that's learned how to win, that's a championship team, and you're running into them again. The White Sox and Astros have had some issues along the way, dealing with some injuries too. Any of these wild card teams, we've said this before, the Yankees have won series against every one of these teams, whether it's the division leaders. In the second half of the season, they've won series against Tampa Bay and Chicago. They won both their series in the first half against Houston, despite a couple of ugly losses. The wild card teams, well, you're looking at Oakland and Seattle and Boston, and the Yankees have struggled with Boston before. It's not the same. Neither team is the same at this point in the season as they were earlier in the year. I just don't see the team that you're scared of. And the Yankees aren't that team either. Trust me. It's not that the Yankees aren't running into this postseason as a 100-win juggernaut with everything lined up and teams are scared of them. I don't think anybody's scared of them. But I think we saw during their winning streak, I think you saw the elements that could make a good team. And they were beating good teams, which again is part of they were beating some bad teams too. I get it. They played Baltimore before and Miami. But they have some of those elements. I mean, you have Gerrit Cole pitching as well as he's pitching. You have a chance to be a good team. You have Aaron Judge hitting the way he was hitting and Giancarlo Stanton hitting the way he was hitting. Both those guys in the middle of the order. You have a chance to be a really good team. Right now, last few days, those two guys aren't hitting. And, well, you can't pitch Gerrit Cole every day, can you? The lineup is really hard to watch because you know, when you think DJ LeMahieu was out of it, all of a sudden he goes trickling back down. And Anthony Rizzo hasn't been the same since he came back from COVID. And Joey Gallo is just miserable to watch when it's every other at bat is literally a strikeout. And it's not pretty. You know, he's the guy that when you put his numbers down on paper and you try to objectively look at it from that analytic standpoint, you're like, you know what? You circle him and say, this is a good player because the numbers are good at the end of the year. But boy, what he's going through right now, not good at all. It's hard to watch. And when you're in a position where you're fighting for wins and you're trying to find some of these things to latch onto, you don't want to hear that the numbers balance out because watching him strike out four times on Labor Day is no fun at all. And watching a batting average, it's in the, under 200. It doesn't, the 31 home runs don't make up for the under 200 all by themselves. There is a total package there. He does walk a lot. But you need to see a little bit more of that. And you need to see a spurt where he's hot to balance this out. Because if he's going to be a career two-something hitter, I'd like to see a stretch where he hits 280, balancing out the O-something that he's hitting in this last stretch. So I get that that's hard to watch. And you might see him get a couple of days off here as the Yankees try to figure this out and figure out what the best lineup is for them. The best lineup has Judge and Stanton in it, that's for sure. And they got to start hitting, and this isn't about, I hear so many people talking about, well, this is the hitting coach, this is the manager, this is the general manager. Judge and Stanton, these guys are adults. These guys are grown men who get paid a lot of money to play baseball well. And they were doing that. They can't go from hot to cold instantly. That's on them. They're good players who have to figure out a way how to get out of this. I don't think the Yankees are a team that is going to go through these next 25 games and go 7-18. I just don't think that's how they finish. I think they even this out a little bit because you're going to have Cole pitching some of these games. Tyone has actually pitched really well. Although he might have looked a little bit tired his last couple of starts, I thought he bounced back really well after giving up a couple of solo homers to a team that hits solo home runs. Listen, the two guys he gave up home runs to, Semien and Guerrero, I mean, that's not small company right there. A lot of guys have given up home runs to them this year. After that, he gave up one run over seven innings. I will take that from Jameson Taillon. Corey Kluber is the mystery man here because he's still coming back from this injury. He's made two starts and nothing particularly encouraging yet. But he wasn't particularly encouraging in April either. And by May, he was pitching really well. So I think you got to lean into that a little bit and see if there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hoping for it, I should say. There's a lot of just, I hope this is good. I hope that's good. And that's not what you're used to from the Yankees, but it's kind of what you have right now. And I can't give you a better answer than that right now. You've got to hope that these guys play better. And they were playing better. And they were playing better against good teams. So I don't understand how it turns off that quickly. But they've got three more with Toronto, three with the Mets. They've got a makeup game with the Twins. And then they have three in Baltimore. Then they have Cleveland and Texas. They've got winnable games here coming up. Season ends. This is tricky now. If you look at the last nine games of the season, Boston, Toronto, Tampa Bay. And these are all teams that are probably playing for something. Maybe Tampa Bay eases off the gas pedal if they've wrapped up the division in the final three games. But Boston, Toronto are playing for things. And Tampa's not going to want to go completely ice cold. So they're going to be playing for things. It's going to get interesting. Looking at those last nine games, that means the Yankees have to do really get a lot done in the next 16 because it gets harder in the last 9 games. They have to start now. And it's really hard to watch when they lose games because you see so many missed opportunities and you see players who should be so much better in all these spots. And it's just not there yet. We'll see how this week turns out. This week has something that doesn't involve anything on the field that's going to make some Yankee fans happy. Derek Jeter will be inducted into the Hall of Fame on Wednesday. Check out, I have a piece coming up. Actually, by the time you hear this, it will be on WFAN.com. So check it out. It's a look at the origin story of Derek Jeter. And it's really a look at Jeter from the time he was in high school to the time he was drafted, coming up through the minors, to the time he broke out as the rookie of the year for the Yankees in 96. And it's a collection of stories and quotes from people that I gathered actually back in 2014 during Jeter's last season. And I've packaged them up here for you again to take a little bit closer look at the guy who's going in to the Hall of Fame with a near unanimous vote and is being celebrated for this wonderful career, rightfully so. But if you look back at the beginnings, there are some hints of greatness and there are some moments of caution and moments of, is he really going to be able to make it through this, make it past this? And I think it's a really interesting look at what the perceptions were. Even of a guy who was picked as highly as Jeter was in the draft and all the expectations you had, there were still some things that make you say, is he really going to be good enough? And obviously we know that he was and that he takes his place in the Hall of Fame, rightfully so, on Wednesday. So please check that out. It's on WFAN.com right now. And if you have any trouble finding it, just go to my Twitter page at YankeesWFAN and you'll find the links to it all there. I want to remind you to subscribe to WFAN's Baseball Insiders. You'll get Ed Coleman's Mets reports and my Yankees reports delivered right to you. So there's a lot of, happening right here, but it's because that's what the Yankees are. When you go 30-10, and then go 2-6 right after that and don't look even similar at all to the team that won all those games, it's a lot of, who are these guys? It's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid where they say, who are those guys? No idea right now. And it changes game to game. It changes series to series. But I urge you to look at the other teams too because none of them are any clearer as to who they are and how good they are. Maybe Toronto makes some noise here this week and starts putting their foot on the gas, but they're also chasing. They're coming from behind. So they've had issues too. And the Yankees have missed their best pitcher, Robbie Ray, who pitched on Sunday. You're going to likely see him in a couple of weeks in that next series. So let's see how they do. Hit subscribe, hit review, and all that jazz. And until next time, thanks for listening. I'm Sweeney Murdy.